Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and Podmetrics. Hey, grateful ones. Before we start, find yourself in a comfortable space and take three deep breaths. I know it's been tough for all of us, so let's take this time to feel whatever you're feeling as you take a deep breath in. Take in love, kindness, joy, and gratitude. And as you exhale, let go of any pain, anger, regret, or discomfort you're feeling right now. Welcome to After 30 with Cara Erigel, a 30-something reminding you to take deep breaths and live with gratitude as we talk love, life, fear, relationships, career, sex, food, money, good books, and how life is so much different and oddly the same after 30. I post new episodes every Thursday. Follow at After 30 with Cara Erigel on Instagram and Facebook to stay updated. Everybody, welcome to another episode of After 30 with Cara Erigel. I hope you're all safe and well. And first, let me greet our mamas belated happy Mother's Day and to all moms to be. I hope you all had a wonderful day and also that you felt extra love and celebrated, extra loved and celebrated on your special day. Okay, let's talk mothers. I don't even know how to start this. Okay. My mom is already here in the recording platform and my armpits are really wet. And I have this sinking feeling in my stomach and this voice inside my head that says, this has to be perfect. She's watching. But seriously, we're going to get down and dirty on this episode. But trust me, you will come out of it feeling refreshed and hopefully with a different perspective on the value, importance, and gravity of the awareness of the relationship you have with your mothers and yourselves. How it greatly affects your life, your decision-making, and even your other relationships as an adult. Through the experience of our mothers, we are creating an internal experience of a mother we carry within. Our experience with our own mothers teach us how to mother ourselves, so we are then only able to mother ourselves in the same manner. The relationship we create with our mother becomes the relationship we have with ourselves in the future and for the rest of our lives. Now, if you can list down how many times the word mother is said in this episode, I will give you a prize. Now, how now if you did not have a good relationship with your mother? Or if you had a mother who was physically present but emotionally wasn't? Or a mother who wasn't present at all? Or a mother who was even abusive? Or a mother who just wasn't motherly? What if you grew up feeling unmothered? What effects does this have on your adult life? Do you blame your mother for all of the shit that's happening to you? The thing about the unmothered children is that we continue to look for a mother we didn't have because this space has remained empty. Because we strive so hard to get our mother's attention and connect with them, we learned that we needed to work really hard to be seen, that nothing is granted for us, not even the love, the connection, and the safe bonding. We will keep looking for this mother in anything and everything. Mother being the word I'm using now to refer to the feeling of being nurtured, wanted, seen, and loved unconditionally. The good news is we can create the inner experience we lack in order to emotionally develop in ways we have not been mothered, because we are the only ones in a visceral way who really knows how we feel and what we really need. You can be present for yourself. And I know it sounds like a lot of work, but thankfully, we now have access to the tools that can help us reframe and rewrite our story so that we can move forward with our lives and cultivate better relationships with ourselves and others. Joining us on today's episode, waiting patiently for me to introduce her because I did not warn her about this long intro, is certified narrative coach, certified transitions coach, and certified strengths coach, who will be having her workshop / retreat called Reframing Your Mother Story next month. Everybody, please welcome back on the podcast, my mother, Leah Erigel. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Aba, di ba?
Oo, grabe. Okay, nag-aral.
I'm happy to have you here. O, diba? Sabi ko nga sa'yo eh, mas, what's this? Like, I feel the most pressure when I guest you on the show. That's something I feel like we can unpack today. But I mean, I guess it's like that for a lot of people.
is it me? No, naman ah. I'm like that. You can be your most imperfect self.
No, I know. It's mother stories, diba, that we have in our heads. And so this is why we are having this really, really important conversation today. And I'm happy to have you back on the show. Thank you for being here.
Happy to be here. I feel like suki.
Siyempre. Suking-suki sa show.
Suking-suki. Okay.
Okay, so I want to start by asking you, you know, if you can tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a narrative coach and eventually coming up with the Reframing Your Mother Story workshop. Because I feel like not a lot of people are familiar with, you know, these terms and some of the terms that we'll be throwing around in this conversation, but somehow maybe the title or, you know, whatever the teasers that they heard, it attracted them into listening to this podcast. So I'm sure naka-relate or nag-resonate with them itong conversation that we're about to have. So what was your journey like? And how did you come up with Reframing Your Mother Story?
Okay, first, I've always seen myself as a writer, a storyteller, lover of stories. I like hearing stories. I like telling them. I like writing them. And, you know, it was through deeper inner work study that I realized stories are how we make sense of the world. Our stories shape our realities. All of our stories are 100% subjective. Therefore, the stories in our heads are also never 100% true. At the start of the pandemic, I found, or maybe narrative coaching found me. It was a year-long really deep dive into the importance of knowing our stories, not just the stories we know, but also the stories we don't know. So that was a deep dive into learning how to listen to our stories, the ones that are told in our heads and the ones that remain untold, how to get to them so that we know what we're needing in the moment, how to be in the moment. And, to find a way to shift from the stories that don't serve us to the ones that empower us and to stand as witness with no judgment as our stories come to fore. So narrative coaching has brought me here where I realized that reframing your mother's story was the deepest, scariest, most vulnerable I could be and most present. And also I realize more and more most needed by women. And so I birthed it as a one day thing in November. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And everyone thought, you know, bitin. So now I've created this deeper dive, this time in the beautiful, it's a weekend retreat in the beautiful Casa San Pablo. So you get to go into a deeper dive, figure out what your mother stories are, to accept them, to understand them, to come to terms with them, come to peace with the story and yourself, and to realize that you are the author of your story. You are not the story. So you can change that story anytime.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, you had quite a journey, diba, that led you here. It was, you know, I know you're a writer, a brilliant one at that. Nice. And it's wonderful. No, it's wonderful that you found, kumbaga, a greater purpose to, I mean, this talent that you already have and that you honed. And you know, I want to know what the underlying feel, because you said the word vulnerable, and it's such a, and no judgment, right? Those two words, very important and ano ba, integral ba, kumbaga, in this, I mean, in the work that you're doing, right? So can you share with us, like, what was the underlying feeling behind this? Or, you know, you say the story that led you to, you know, want to share this to as many people as possible.
I was an adopted child. So I already had, even before anything else, I already had the mother story that even before I was born, there was a mother out there who didn't want me. Okay, that was the story in my head. Whether I knew it or not, it was there. And then, you know, your Loli, who, you know, adopted me, she was a product of her times, much older than me. Parang our gap was big. I think she was 40-something when she had me. Mm-hmm. So my mother was a product of her times, very traditional, very religious, had very clear ideas of how a woman should be, needs to be. And I can only imagine, and I'm saying this now because I can already stand back, I can only imagine how difficult it must have been for her to have raised a child who was so different from all her expectations. Like, different. And so to say that my mother and I had a contentious relationship would be understating it. I was forever caught between rebelling, insisting that I be heard, and another part that I never acknowledged was I wanted her affirmation. So for the longest time, I went around blaming my mother for whatever was wrong with me. And then I had you in a not traditional way, which of course broke her heart, which was not intentional for me. And then I went away, not the best of choices. And still I went on, you know, blaming my mother. I mean, there was a lot of blame there. And eventually when I went back to the Philippines and I had, you know, and I met you after 9 years and baon ko yung kapatid mo, 7 years old, diba? Sana dollars. Pera, kapatid baon ko. And, you know, heartbroken from having separated, I realized that I had to take ownership of my life, of my, I realized, dati sabi ko, malas ko naman, lagi na lang mga relationships ko, ganyan. So drama-drama lahat ng mga relasyon ko, mapakaibigan, mapakareer, so much energy. Yeah. And then I realized, wait a minute, there I started to see a pattern. I mean, it was painful to see, but I had to look. Ba't ang drama ng mga relasyon ko? Baka hindi sila. Baka ako. And so that's when I said to myself, okay, this is really scary. And maybe I'm going to discover that there's a terrible person hiding behind all of these layers of drama and whatnot. But I decided I was going to face it so that I could be a better person and I could be a better mom, because at that point I was a single mom. And so that's when I began to realize that our lives are made of patterns. And unless we see our patterns for what they are without any judgment, hindi natin yun mababago. There's a lot of our stories in our heads that belong to our mothers. Hindi naman pala natin mga kwento. For example, my mother's story was, a woman is nothing without a man. I didn't agree in my head. But in truth, growing up, I felt not worthy if there was not a man in my life, if I wasn't in a relationship. That's a mother's story. Because when you believe I am not complete without a man, then you will go out there looking for someone who wants you without ever stopping to check, teka, gusto ko pa siya. Kasi in your head, merong tik-tak, 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 kailangan may partner ako. Otherwise, hindi ako worthy. Diba joke yung, ay, wala ka pang boyfriend? Ay, wala ka pang asawa? You know, again, that's from a mother's story. Why? Because these are generational mother stories. Pinalaki tayong dapat at this certain age, may ganyan na. Dapat this certain age, may ganyan na. Totoo ba yung mga dapat mayon? Hindi. dapat at this age may asawa ka na, dapat at this age may anak ka na, paano kung ayaw mo mag-anak? Paano kung di ka pwedeng mag-anak? Does it make you less of a woman? No. What is the mother story of our culture? The answer to both is yes, and it's terrible. That's where the shame comes, that's where the expectations come from, and I've come to realize na anywhere there are expectations, there is stress. And malamang may misunderstanding. When we learn to ease up on our expectations, everything becomes bonus. So did I answer your question?
In many ways, yes. But I also had a lot of realizations in your, you know, sa story mo. In my head, you know, I was trying to, okay, like, let's say for people who are hearing this for the first time, through our listeners and our viewers who are hearing all these terms and, you know, experiencing these terms for the first time, I guess parang the mother story that you're referring to can be, you know, can be a belief. Kumbaga, diba? I guess like in simpler terms, diba? It's your story, but really what it is a belief. Kasi nung sinasabi mo parang, okay, a woman needs to be, or a woman is nothing without a man. Yes, that's a mother's story. Another term for that is, that's a belief, diba? I guess that made simpler. That's the belief that your mother
has. It's the belief, not only of my mom. Yes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It was the belief of my mother, and not only was it the belief of my mother, it was the belief of her generation.
Intergenerational belief.
Yeah, and if we're truthful, hanggang ngayon nandiyan pa din yan.
Yeah.
You know, millennials will say, no, I'm all, well, whatever, but nandiyan yan, because it's deep-seated. Very deep-seated.
It's technically in our DNA already.
Yes.
Diba? And also, like, I mean, one of the biggest values that I see in, you know, you taking this journey and me taking this journey with you is that you're able to tell me these stories and I'm able to kind of step out and see, oh, okay, and see you as human. Diba? See you as this person who was probably, you know, feeling the same feelings that I'm feeling now. Ngayon, sinasabi mo, it's intergenerational, yung beliefs and yung stories na yun eh. So if I'm experiencing these things, it's because I believed in the stories that you believed in and you experienced those things at the time because you believe the stories that Loli believed in. And like, you know, nung sinasabi mo parang, oh, she was already 40 plus when she had you and so you had such a huge disconnect. And I was like, damn. She was 60, 70 plus when she was raising me. So our disconnect was even further. And meron din siyang, you know, meron din siyang grief na kinikarry at the time.
Yes, yes.
And so that was double, triple, I guess, you know, the stories that was passed down to me when I was younger. But we'll get to that. But, you know, all of these realizations are kind of like, oh, okay, eye-opening. And now a lot of people, again, because of social media, TikTok, and the internet, you know, fast, we have all these like, quick informations that we see. And if you become aware, and if you're not careful with the awareness that you are handed or that you are given, it's so easy to blame. It's so easy to take it to blame. Oh my God, kaya pala ako ganto kasi ganto yung nanay ko, kasalanan to ng nanay ko eh. Tapos hate mo na siya, di ba? Or like you move on to hatred. And that's the beauty of being able to rewrite your story or reframe your story and you're taking control and accountability. So my next question is like, what does reframing your mother's story even mean? And how is this similar to or different from the term reparenting?
Okay. reframing your mother's story, first and foremost, is not about blaming. Because, and I want to say this blanket, it's a blanket statement, wala tayong mahihita sa blame. You know what people blame? Because then it relieves them of accountability. Whether it's at work, in the country, ay hanapan natin ang may kasalanan para tapos na. So no, reframing your mother's story is not about blaming our mothers. Because like you said earlier, just like us, our mothers were women who had their own stories passed on from their mothers and their mothers before them. What reframing your mother's story is going into accountability and saying, okay, what's my story? And what are the stories in my head that don't serve me anymore? And what can I do to reframe them? Reframing is just another term for shifting, changing. And yes, we can change our stories all the time. So, ano? Gagawa ka ng kwento? Gagawa ka ng hindi totoo? Hindi. Hahanapin mo lang yung positive. Hahanapin, and hindi siya lang, actually, because words are very powerful, right? I remember when I first went into counseling, and that was with Harriet Hermeliosa. And I told her my story, like in this monotone, I said, well, according to my adoptive mother, my birth mother, she's trying to get rid of me for 6 months. And then she tried so many ways. She tried riding the roller coaster. She tried drinking Chinese herbs. She tried wearing big gears, but she just couldn't get rid of me. And so finally, she decided to have me adopted. And that's my story. And there was so much pain in that story, but that's, you know, my pretend I'm okay with it is how I said it. And then Harriet goes, well, you know, you can see that as hindi ka pa pinapanganak, hindi ka na niya gusto. You can see it that way, which is how I saw it. Or you can see it as hindi ka pa pinapanganak, survivor ka na. So hindi ka pa pinapanganak, malakas ka na. And I'm like, oh my God.
I was actually about to say that as a joke. Habang kinakwento mo yun, parang, eh, alam mo, ang, di ba, ano ka, tenacious ka eh. Umapit ka talaga eh.
Oh, can't get rid of. But just the, when she said that to me, I said, you can do that? You can? She didn't, there was no lying there. It was just that, yun yung reframing. Ibayin mo yung tingin mo. Kasi yung, di pa ako pinapanganak, hindi na niya ako gusto, siguro hindi ako worthy, is never served me. And that mother's story ruled my life. All my relationships were about running after men who were emotionally unavailable. If there was a decent, loving, lovable man who came to me and I didn't have to make tumbling, ayaw
friend zone.
Kasi hindi ako worthy. Dali. Eh.
Easy? Ano ba yan?
Hindi ako worthy. So kung gusto mo sa akin, eh, hindi ka worthy. 1+1 lang naman yun eh.
Mm.
And that went on for a long time. And, you know, and I was filled with, you know, jealousy. Jealousy was like my big thing. I mean, I can be all cool and calm, pero pag, you know, when the, what do they call it? The jealousy snake reared its ugly head for me. I turned into someone else. Even I wouldn't like to be with.
Mm-hmm.
And di lang romantic, you know. So the unworthy mother story ruled my relationships, ruled how I saw things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when eventually, that was my first aha moment. Wait, pwede mo palang gawin yon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, through the years, I went into inner work and then eventually narrative coaching. And then eventually because of narrative coaching, I was able to birth Reframing Your Mother's Story. And I realized while I was birthing Reframing Your Mother's Story, that through the years of inner work pala, slowly I started to see my mother not as the woman who had to be all the things she never was.
Mm.
You know, in my head, there was this perfect woman. Dapat lagi siyang nandun sa PTA. Dapat masarap siyang mag-bake. Dapat, ang dami kong dapat. No one can be that to anyone. You know, the dapats in our mother's stories. But eventually, as I went, and because I became a flawed mother myself, and I started to have more and more empathy, and as I understood myself, mas nakikita ko na siya bilang babae. Now when I see my mother, I see a woman who was a product of her times. Imagine how difficult it must have been for her. Because marami sila sa pamilya, tapos lahat sila, maraming mga anak.
Hmm.
What would it have been like for my mother to have to adopt a child? And then she adopts a child, and the child is so different from her. Now, at this point pa lang, naiintindihan ko, kaya pala ayaw niyang pag-usapan yung, ma, tell me naman who were my birth parents, what was my, ayaw niyang pag-usapan, because she was so scared to lose me.
Mm.
And I grew up with your lolly always asking, do you love me? Maybe you don't love me. When I think about that now, I'm not saying all the hurtful things she did don't hurt anymore. Hindi.
Mm.
They did. But I will say now, yun yung alam niyang gawin eh. Yun yung alam niyang gawin. She raised me the best way that she could.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, it's my job to, what do I need? What did I need then that she could not give? Not because she was a bad person, but because she had her own stories. So, for example, my mother's love language was service. Hindi words of affirmation. Eh ako, words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. So growing up, naririnig ko lang yung I love you pag may ginawa akong masama. Ano ka ba naman? Alam mo naman, we love you very much. Eh so syempre, di ba, sabi ng subconscious ko, eh, gumawa pa tayo ng mga rebellious things para masabihan tayo ng I love you. And then I realized, my mother's love language was, have you eaten?
Mm-hmm.
Lahat ng paborito kong pagkain, alam niyang lutuin ng masarap. That was her love language, but mine was words of affirmation. In fact, the only time that I began to be able to say I love you to her was when I was already in the States, you know, over the phone, we'd call each other every Sunday. And the first time I did it, I was like, okay, bye, ma, I love you. And she went, ah. And she put the phone down. Ah, hello?
Oh, hindi siya sanay.
Yeah, nakailan kaming, eventually she was like, you know, and then eventually it became a thing for her. Now, for my children, I made it a thing. You know, we say I love you to each other, you know, as much as we can. But I did not grow up with that. So what's, for example, if we were to talk about reframing your mother's story, my mother never said I love you to me, not because she didn't love me. She didn't say I love you to me because that was not her love language. And to be honest, I don't think people around, you know, her age, people who are now like 80s, 90s, they didn't. To people in that generation, emotions are weak. You know, we don't do I love you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's one way that I have learned to mother myself is to tell myself, oh, good job. Or, you know, when I know it's going to be a tough day in the morning before I get up, I say, okay, are we going to give ourselves 5 more minutes? Okay. You know, so I mother myself with affirming words because it's what I need. It's what I need. And it's very important to know at any given moment, what do you need in this moment? What do you need? If you don't know what you're feeling now because, okay, a belief is, yeah, feelings are, you know, weak. Again, that's another belief that we need to change.
Mm-mm.
If we don't know what you need right now, how can you give yourself that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Know what you need at any given moment and learn to give it to yourself.
But how do you learn to give yourself what you need if you don't know what you need? So how do you learn what you need? How do you find out what you need?
How do you find out what you need? You need to listen to yourself more. Not be afraid of listening, acknowledging your emotions. I have a big number of my coaches come to me like this. Something has happened to me and it hurts so much. Can you make it go away? I don't want it. And the first thing I say is, ay, wala po akong magic wand. At kahit meron, that's not the way to heal. The way to heal is to accept your emotions. No, I can't, I don't, it hurts too much. As I'm a mamatay ba tayo? Di naman. Di ba? Because it feels like death. I get it. I get it. I was there once. And the truth of it is, when we are able to allow our emotions are there. Actually, they are teachers. That's why nandun yung hurtful feelings, kasi sila yung nagsasabi sa atin, you're not in a good place. You need to do something about it. And then we don't. What do? Instead, we get busy, or we go into substances, or we go into another relationship, or all of the above. We buy things. Lazada and Shopee are our best friend. Everything external. Kasi ayaw mo pumasok sa loob. Takot ni.
And also like these things, yun nga eh, parang when you were saying that a while ago, like for me also, like the things that we learn, you know, to deal with our own emotions as we grow up, we learn to do them because of what happened to us, diba? Because of, let's say, like for you at least, like you, the relationships that you chose, you know, were usually unavailable men because you didn't feel worthy of men who treated you better and stuff like that. And I also had that the same pattern. But also at the same time, we held on to that because it served us somehow. Holding on to, diba? Parang holding on to the feeling or resentment or whatever it was that we were holding on to before you chose to take the step towards healing and before I chose to take the step towards healing as well. Parang it served you at a certain point. Like people hold on to fears and resentment. I'm just adding to what you're saying now, that feelings are there for a reason. They're there to protect us. They're there to teach us something, like anger, fear, resentment. We hold on to those things because in a weird way, in our heads, we feel like they're saving us from something. They're keeping us from getting safe. Hurt. It makes us feel safe. But also at the same time, medyo counterproductive siya sa buhay, di ba? Kasi it's keeping you from moving forward. You're just, on the surface, you're feeling safe because you're avoiding.
Yeah.
But you're not really
feeling safe. So, for example, let's say I get into a romantic relationship and this is someone who is exciting and unavailable emotionally. Sometimes there, sometimes not. I can't figure him out. I'm always at the edge. Oh my God, this is love. He is the air that I breathe.
Because it's the feeling you're familiar with the kind of love that you receive.
Yes, yes. Yung hindi ka sure. Mm. Yung parang, ngayon
yung
parang,
lagi kailangan mong i-affirm na, alam mo, i-prove parang, yung sarili mo lagi na worthy ako, worthy ako, worthy ako.
Parang kang laging naka, you know, you're like this. Mm-hmm. And I know that, I realized, you know, I had this one aha moment. I said, oh my God, why do I keep ending up with the same kind of man? And I realized, alam ko, pag in love na ako, pag yung kasama ko yung guy, tapos parang hindi ako makahinga. You know, there's like a ganyan feeling. And I realized, I went into this moment because of free writing, which is one of the things that we do in my coaching and in Reframing Your Mother's Story, that the few recurring moments I would have alone with my dad, I'd be so excited to be with him, so scared to make a mistake, so scared to do something wrong, to say something wrong, because I was so excited to be with him because we were rarely together, just him and me. And there would be this feeling at the pit of my stomach. That was the feeling. That yun yung feeling na chinechase ko when I get attracted to someone. And of course, when someone gave me love that was certain, love that was sure, yoko, hindi love yun. You know, there was no, there was none of that. Yun. That's, I had to teach myself, like literally train myself, no, that thing that you're attracted to, that's not the kind of love that you deserve.
Do you think now as a mother, like, okay, this is how that has affected your choice in relationships and, you know, and not just naman din relationships, eh, that also nagsaspill over din siya with other decisions that you make in your life, diba? You choose, let's say you choose a career that will constantly need, you need constant reaffirmation that you're worthy or that you're good at it, or you need to, you believe that you need to work extra hard to to feel like you're worthy or to feel like you're good enough. And if you get something and didn't work hard for it, and I remember hearing that from you growing up, you know, if you don't work hard for it, you won't value it as much, which, yes, there is truth in that. But also at the same time, now that I'm older, no, some things I can get easily. Some things I don't need to work hard for, because some things are just there. Mother Nature has it, you know, the universe, because you deserve it, because you're human and that's why you're here. You know, there are some things that you don't need to work extra hard for, but that's what we learn because of, you know, our experiences and our childhood. But so I just want to know, like, how do you think this spilled over in your life? So we already know that this is the type of relationships that you had, and how did it spill over to, let's say, the career choices that, you know, you had, or even our relationship, your own relationship with your children? Do you think somehow nag-spill over din yun?
Oo naman. I am a big, big, big believer, and so far, di pa siya nabubuwag. How you do one thing is how you do everything. My belief is that, one, we need to be mindful about our feelings. It is a practice. Again, it is not a magic wand. When you are feeling, when you are hurting, that is your body telling you, step back, take a look, something has to change. Mm-hmm. And it's inward. It's always inward. Allow yourself to look inward. Allow yourself to look at your stuff without judgment. Instead, curiosity. Uy, ba't ako nagselos doon? O bakit ako na-OP doon? Or bakit hindi ako comfortable sa space na yon? No matter how wonderful it seems. Well, I used to have this job was paying me crazy amounts of money, but I was so unhappy. And buti na lang, I was ready a place in my life where I could say, what's wrong? Uh-uh. Why am I not valuing this? Even in my relationships, I have learned, huwag tayong pumunta sa drama. Huwag tayong umabot sa drama. Paano tayo hindi umabot sa drama? You bring it up. You bring up the difficult conversations, because the difficult conversations will lead to understanding. Tayo mga Pilipino, ang ilig natin sa mga pag di natin pinag-usapan, it doesn't exist. Not true. Pag hindi natin pinag-usapan, sugat yan, magpe-fester. Sa araw, kalabitin ka lang, galit ka na. Same thing in my relationships with you and with your brother. I taught you both for us to talk about the difficult stuff, even if it's difficult, even if it's like pulling teeth. You know, a lot of times as a mother, I would say, kailangan ko ba itong gawin? Mag-aaway kami. Ayoko. Sino ba namang nanay gusto mag-aaway sa mga anak? And then, you know, I have a conversation with myself. Alam mo, pag hindi mo pinag-usapan yan, hindi naman yan maayos eh. Lalalim lang. So, you know, there's the child voice in me that I don't want. And then the adult's like, you gotta do this. And so we do. We have, you know, I taught you both to not hide from the difficult conversations. Because the difficult conversations are about, I got hurt, I don't understand.
So I have a question, Mom. Sorry. Do you mean to say that you started your journey towards, say, you know, reframing your mother's story even when Jubal and I were young? I mean, when did you start realizing that, oh, this was something you had to take accountability for and this was something you needed to heal? Did you start the journey when we were still young and that's how you realized that, oh, okay, we need to talk about difficult conversations?
Yes. Yes.
How has reframing your mother's story essentially affected your relationship with us, your children?
Okay. One, I am more able to tell you when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. When I messed up, I messed up. I messed up. As a single mother, I had a super mom complex. Kailangan lahat ka. Kasi may kulang eh. So binubunok mo. Mm-mm. I let go of that. I was not able to do a lot of things. I was not able to be a lot of things. I messed up big time. And also, I'm here, willing to work things out, willing to be accountable for all the times that I messed up. You know, you didn't know then. Now you know now that I know I do better. So I will be the first to say, not a perfect mom. It's far from that. I hope that in doing so, I am able to teach you both that perfection is a myth. It is a waste of time to even think that it is possible for us. We have this myth. If everything is perfect, then everything will be perfect for me. Eh, wala ang perfect. So, paano? As opposed to, take things as they come. What are the surest things in life? We will get old. We will die. We will make mistakes. And the sooner natanggapin natin yon, the sooner that life will be easier for us. Magkamali. Make glorious, amazing mistakes is what I want to say to both of you. Stop staying in the coloring in the right lines. Conform. No, that keeps us small. Make your mistakes. Kasi it's from our mistakes that we learn the most. Why am I, what makes me legit to hold the reframing your mother's story? Because I made mistakes big time. As a daughter, as a mom, as a person, I did not make small mistakes. I made them big. I learned from them. The more you're able to see your mistakes and be like, oh, that was a big one. Okay, sige, ano yung natutunan natin? O sige, game, ulitan. And that's what's helped me to be more accepting of myself, to be more comfortable in my own skin. That's one of the gifts of reframing our mother stories, of seeing our stories from a different light, is really being comfortable in our own skin. Yun ang loto.
Yep. I love that. No, and I love the effects that being able to take accountability and making yourself aware that it also yung effects that spilled over with how you raised me and Jubal. I mean, you were very honest, sometimes a little too honest, which we both appreciate. And I think, you know, and you know this, you know, you've raised children who, you know, stand by their own beliefs and who can hold a good conversation and who, you know, are very vocal about our feelings as well. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it has taught me and Jubal, I think we bring it with us until today in our adult lives. Yung, ano ba, how to negotiate.
Yes.
Is the best, you know, word I can think of that can describe that. Kasi nga, before, pag kunwari, meron kaming, kunwari nag-away kami ng brother ko or something, I did something when I was in college and my mom would really sit us down. Like, I remember coming home drunk, you know, throwing up and everything, and she'd be like, you know, go throw up and then when you're done, come back and talk to me at like 3 a.m. and she's like, okay, what did, you know, what was wrong? What went wrong here? You didn't come home at the time you said you were going to come home. How are you not going to do this again, you know, all these difficult questions that normally parents would just be like, I mean, kung umuwi man ako ng late at lasing, natulog na lang siguro yung nanay ko kasi madaling araw na yun eh. Diba? And then like, ground na lang niya ako for like, say, 2 months. Not saying she didn't do that. She did. But I mean, you know, we did have the difficult conversations and that kind of taught us to be, you know, more self-aware, like aware of why we did the things we did, what went wrong there and how can we make it better. Not saying we're perfect people now because of that, but you know, we learned how to become better people. And I guess that's how we had a more open relationship with our mother. And again, not perfect, but easier, lighter,
because
more compassionate.
No,
yeah. There's no perfect. So, okay. How do you hope, because you are holding this workshop and this is something you're very, very passionate about. How do you hope it could change? It could help change the lives of others as well, as much as it has helped change yours.
Okay. My hope with this deep dive in the beautiful Casa San Pablo in San Pablo, Laguna on June 24, 25, my hope is that people, the women who attend this workshop, will learn their mother's stories, see it for what it is, with no judgment. Be able to see their mothers and themselves as women with their frailties, their vulnerabilities, their uncertainties. And all of this is what makes them into this wonderful, beautiful human being it's interesting that we keep saying perfect, 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 perfect is boring. You're an artist. You know that what makes something beautiful is the contrast, the layers. And that's what we are. We are made of contrasts and layers and layers. And that's what makes us interesting. And all of that is okay. So my wish is that women see their mother stories, what belonged to their mother, what belongs to them, what is now for them, what beliefs were their mother's and not necessarily theirs, but they're still holding on to it. What can they let go of now to be stronger, to be more empowered? Lots of stories like, if I don't like my mother, do I have to keep seeing her in order to love her? Is a question.
Okay, I feel like this is where this is going. So I want to, I don't know, itutuhog ko na. You're holding a workshop, yes. A retreat in June. We'll talk about the details later on. I'll type it here as well. If you guys are watching the live, hello. It's called Reframing Your Mother's Story. Wow, diba? Parang di naman natin pa ulit sinabi. It's called Reframing Your Mother's Story. Can you give us a little sneak peek at what your participants will be experiencing there? Just so our listeners and our viewers can have an idea in case they want to, join it themselves.
Okay. There will be a lot of sharing, and this will be aided sharings. We will do free writing because that is the modality that is, very close to my heart. There will be creative experiences. There will be sharing. And from the last Reframing Your Mother's Story, the first one in November, the sharing alone is already so powerful and so healing. Because like I said, stories are how we make sense of the world. Pag kinikimkim natin yung mga kwento natin, ang lalim-lalim niya, tas ang bigat-bigat. Sometimes it's just us saying it out loud. Sometimes it's just that I am such an overachiever because I think because whenever I used to achieve is the only time pinapansin ako ng mommy ko is a story.
What's that? Is there an exercise that you can maybe patikim ngayon? There was something we were talking about a while ago.
We were talking about how we think, kunwari, when I say, reframing your mother's story, and you're thinking it's just interpersonal, you're my daughter, I'm your mom. And it goes beyond that. We also have generational, ancestral mother stories that hindi natin alam affect us or affect how we believe or how we see the world. For example, fairy tales. Let's talk about Little Red Riding Hood. What's the story of Little Red Riding Hood? Little Red Riding Hood's mom was busy that day and she told Little Red Riding Hood, "Uy, yung lola mo may sakit. The lola lives in the woods. Not able to take this to her today. Well, can you take this food to her? Don't pass by the forest, ha? Even if it's the shortcut, don't. Because it's scary there. It'll get dark. There's a big bad wolf." And so the little girl, she wears her red. And when she says, "Oh my God, na lang ako sa shortcut. Bigat-bigat ng dala kong pagkain for grandma." And then eventually she sees the big bad wolf. And because she's never seen a big bad wolf, she didn't know that that's what he was. And so, sabi niya, "Halika," sabi ng big bad, "halika, samahan kita." Sabi, "Oh, yung bait naman to." They go into the mother's house and, things go crazy and they almost get eaten up alive, Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother. Eventually, they're able to come. They went to, they took forces and the big bad wolf. Natalo nila si big bad wolf. Pero ang kwento nung Little Red Riding Hood, don't go into the dark. You follow your mom and your mom tells you don't go into the forest. Don't go into the dark. What does dark mean? Dark can be a symbol of the things that you don't know about yourself. Dark can mean the things that you maybe want to try, but you're uncertain of. Mm-hmm. That story basically says, stay here. Now, if you could change that story to empower you, a more empowering story of Little Red Riding Hood, what would that story be for you?
Are you asking me?
How would you take it?
Okay. Well, what I said this a while ago, no, but we didn't really dive deeper. But the first thing that came to mind was number one, the mom should have at least accompanied a Little Red Riding Hood through the dark, or like through the, you know, through the forest. Kung basically, basta dapat inaccompany niya kasi parang, you know, sinobject niya yung child niya to the dangers with the child not being fully equipped.
Okay. So if you were to change that story so that it becomes more empowering for you, how would you change that story?
Little Red Riding Hood being me should have asked the mom.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I mean, ask for what she needed. Like, oh, I'm afraid it might be a little too dangerous for me. Can you please come with me?
Okay. So see how you change that story? Hindi ka pupunta sa madilim. Tuturuan mo yung sarili mo, hingin yung gusto mo, which was to have been with your mother. Mm-hmm. Because it's true. I mean, that story could have been tama ka sa first sentence pa lang. Sana naging, matakot ako dun eh. Pwede ba tayong dalawa na lang? Edi, nag-iba yung kwento.
Mm.
Mine, my story would have been, let me, trust me to go into the dark. Because I'm a smart little girl, I'm strong, and I'll know what to do. Why is it different for me and for you? Because our mother stories are different. My mother's story was constantly not having a voice, constantly being told what to do, and constantly being told that what I wanted to do or how I wanted to do things was wrong or shameful or unacceptable, sinvergüenza. Your story is different because your mother's story is different. You needed to be with your mom. And I'm sorry to this day. I will be sorry until I die, and maybe beyond, that I made those mistakes. And I feel like it's so huge to be here now in a podcast, being able to say, I'm sorry. I made bad calls. I made bad decisions. I didn't know that then. It affected you so much. I didn't know any better.
You're going to make me cry. Stop. Maybe off the air, okay?
Okay. Not bad to cry.
No, but thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I mean, you have apologized many times. I'm sorry also for I don't know, like, for still holding on to it. Like, I've gone through therapy, I've done healing, you know, myself. And I guess it just goes to show that, how deep it really goes, you know? And it's not just you. I was mothered by two women.
Mm.
One who mothered you, diba? And, medyo double whammy po tayo, mga kaibigan. So, medyo malalim. It's not just, hindi lang ikaw yung nagka-come up whenever I have to deal with that. So, I think, you know, it's two things that I also have to deal with, but I really, really appreciate the relationship that we have, the work that you've done, which led to, you know, the kind of relationship we do have now. And your apology really means a lot because I'm sure a lot of, you know, our viewers right now can relate to this. You know, not all mothers will apologize and not all mothers will have the strength to apologize.
Agree. But that's another thing that I deal with in my coaches. And it's interesting because I dealt with that If only she apologized. She did towards the latter part when she became sicker more often. But growing up, apologies were not made. Why? Because the belief was, magulang ako eh, anak lang. We don't apologize to our children. Terrible, toxic belief. If there are mothers out there or parents out there who still believe that, please, it's so toxic. Apologies are important. Apologies make us feel affirmed. Hindi pala mali yung naramdaman ko na nasaktan ako. Mm-hmm. Kasi nag-sorry siya eh.
Yeah.
It's also interesting how you were saying, I don't know, I've been through therapy, why do I still hold on to this story? There can be a lot of reasons, and one of them could be because when you hold on to that story, it gives you an excuse to play small. Mm-hmm. It gives you an excuse to not be accountable for now, because this is my story. Like, my story was, I'm adopted, I wasn't wanted. And then when I have a conversation now with myself, okay, Leah, alam na natin na yes, you were adopted, but you were not loved.
Mm.
Hindi na tumatakbo yung kwento mo bago gusto mong palitan. Mm-hmm. You know, I call out me. And then so it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So what am I afraid to deal with? That's why I hang on to the adoption story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid to finally say, yes, I'm worthy of creating big, beautiful things because I'm worthy. I'm afraid to say that. But see, because I can now say that's what I'm afraid of, then I can also shift that to go ahead. Even if you're scared, this is important to you. Do things. Play. If you make a mistake, edi you make a mistake. Iyak tayo siguro isang araw, dalawang araw, tapos game ulit. I would not have been able to do that if I had not gone through the inner work. And inner work is not, oh, hanggang dito lang, tas okay na, wonderful na. Hindi, inner work is constant. Because life happens to us every time.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. But okay. Na-overwhelm ako ng emotions ko, diba? So parang medyo naging personal for me yung moment. But thank you very much for sharing all of that. And I'm, you know, I can't wait for other people to experience you and other people to experience this journey, because not a lot of people do. You know, I have a lot of friends, and my mom was always, I mean, you were present in my ano ba growing up years na eh. Nung college, I couldn't get rid of her. Okay, we would drink at home. She would be there. She would be passing the shots with my high school friends and college friends. You know, I mean, you made up for it the way you knew how, in a lot of ways. But yeah, I mean, that not a lot of parents were able to make up for it, also because they weren't aware of it. And, you know, and then some adults, you know, their kids just tinanggap na lang, or just decided to not have a relationship with their mothers. A lot of people have done that and are doing that now, because they feel like it's, yes, keeping their peace, but at the same time, this is just me personally, the way I see it is that, okay, you feel like you're keeping your peace because you're keeping your distance, but at the same time, you are holding on to the resentment. And that's heavy. That's a heavy thing to hold on to. And with such a heavy reason to keep your peace is because you're angry and you don't want to be hurt again. So healing, taking accountability for it, taking the steps sounds like a lot of work. It is. You know, honestly, it is, but it's the work that you need, and it's the work that you will definitely be thanking yourself for, you know, in the future. And not just you and your kids, because you're taking accountability, and you're breaking the pattern, you're breaking the generational trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say, because yes, we're not. It is hard work. It is tough work. Sometimes I have people tell me, why do I have to do this? It's so hard. Because the alternative is that your patterns will stay the same. The alternative is you don't go into the inner work and your patterns will keep happening and happening and happening. And sabi nga ni Carl Jung, until you make the unconscious conscious, you will direct your life. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens. Okay, so if I don't get into inner work, so if I don't go into self-awareness, if I don't learn accountability, I promise you, whatever toxic patterns are happening to you now will keep happening and happening and happening.
And you will pass wonder, them on.
And you will pass them on. And you will wonder why. Or sasabihin mo, malas ka, o masasama silang tao, victim ka. Yun. Yun yung ayaw natin.
Favorite kong feeling, line na natutunan ko kay well, Sanaya Gurnamal, one of the podcasters also under Podcast Network Asia, and a Theta Healer, is that things don't happen to you, they happen for you.
For you, yes. And so I would like to say to anyone who's listening now, if in any way, point in your life or any relationship, you are feeling like a victim, you are welcome to this workshop.
Because Please invite them to your workshop. It's happening in June.
Yes, June 20. Okay. Yan na, nakalimutan ko na.
I will try to type. June 24, 25
at Casa San Pablo in San Pablo, Laguna. Reframing Your Mother's Story is a weekend retreat, a deep dive into getting to know your stories better, owning your stories so that you become the author of your own stories. And let's see our mothers and ourselves as beautiful, layered human beings. And this is a wonderful way to start your self-kindness, your self-love, your self-empathy, so that you go into empowerment, so that you're able to let go of the beliefs that no longer serve you and come up with patterns and beliefs that will help you travel lighter, be more empowered.
Saan nga siya? Ano yung venue mo, mother?
Casa San Pablo at San Pablo, Laguna.
Casa
ang ganda San niya. Ang ganda niya. It's like nature-filled, and then they also have an art gallery. It's a beautiful place. A beautiful place to do this. And, you know, women, whether you are daughters or mothers, you deserve this for yourself. There's okay. So much to unpack, and I would love to unpack them with you.
Very, very exciting. Again, that's Reframing Your Mother's Story, happening on June 24 to 25 at Casa San Pablo in San Pablo, Laguna, of course, with my mother, Leia Erigel. It's going to be a really interesting and mind-blowing experience for you. I'm so excited for everyone to experience it as well. If you guys want to learn more about, you know, Reframing Your Mother's Story, what to expect, please follow her socials as well. Please invite them.
Yes, please. Socials. Yes, I have so much, teasers and bits and pieces. I know, like maybe here, it might have been too much in one go. Please follow me on Instagram at Heartworks Healing or on Facebook at Heartworks Healing for more information about Reframing Your Mother's Story and how you can join us. And before we go, I want to say this. Daughter of mine, you are your beautiful self. You do not need to be perfect for me. You are beautiful as you are. Please make your big, beautiful, creative mistakes. I will always love you, even if you don't do anything. And even if you make mistakes.
Sabi ko, walang paiyakan eh. Pwede namang sabihin yun na hindi tayo live eh.
Sorry naman.
Joke lang. Thank you. Maybe say it more off air.
I will say it more often.
Words of affirmation ng aking love language eh.
Okay.
Thank you, mother. And thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing yourself and your life and your passions with me and our listeners. And again, please follow her on Instagram at Heartworks Healing and Facebook as well to learn more about the workshop happening on June 24 to 25. That's Reframing Your Mother's Story at Casa San Pablo in San Pablo, Laguna.
Yes.
All right. There you go. Again, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, mother of mine. And good luck on your workshop. And love you, and see you guys again next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so, so much for your time and energy. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, this is the part where you share the things, people, moments, whatever it is that you're grateful for today. I would love to hear from you, so please do get in touch with me on Instagram and Facebook at After 30 with Cara Erigel. I would love to see you tag me in your stories if you do post this. And please follow me on Spotify if you haven't yet, and also leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. That would really, really help the podcast. And of course, me a lot. And I truly, truly appreciate you. I am so grateful for you. Don't forget, be grateful.